Christmas at the Movies. And today we're looking at the movie A Christmas Carol. Specifically, I grew up with the 1984 George C. Scott version. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. We were actually last night quoting some other quotes. We're going to have several quotes from the movie today. And so as we look at this, as we said the first week, I had our pink bunny helping us out. On the second week, I had our three home aloneers help us out. And this morning, I've got a handful of Victorian hat wearers that are going to come up. So if you guys want to all come up and grab your hats and come up on the stage, that would be great. You just come right up here on the stage. You can put them on. Yeah, there you go. Okay, very good. You can step up here on the big stage so everybody can see you. Uh-oh, lost a shoe. All right, some of you want to stand over here. All right. Do some of you want to stand over here? Right, Todd? Todd was like, you got a handful of, you know, first through fourth graders. What could go wrong? Right? Do you want to stand over here? There, right here. See where? There you go. Watch the, don't, there we go. All right. Step over here so everybody can see you. You don't want to be blocked by a guitar, right? All right. Now, I made up a special hat for myself I've been wearing all week in the office. Mine has a red hat band around it and feathers. It's just a little more flamboyant. But I decided not to wear that today, right? Yeah, they're all like, oh, bummer. Anyway, so now you just stand there for a while looking cool, okay? I will say this. Will's like, I feel like a pilgrim. So these are their Victorian hats if you watch The Christmas Carol, you know. But A Christmas Carol, written by Charles Dickens in 1843, has become synonymous with the holiday season, and with good reason. This heartwarming story of repentance, redemption, and a transformative power of love and charity is especially poignant during the season of goodwill to all. There's a certain phrase that especially at the beginning of the movie and through the movie that Ebenezer Scrooge likes to use. And that's what our kids are going to help us out with today. And that phrase is? All right, very good. And so when Bah Humbug is when referring to a person, a humbug means a fraud or an imposter, implying an element of unjustified publicity and spectacle. In modern usage, the word is most associated with the character Ebenezer Scrooge, created by Charles Dickens in 1843 in the novel A Christmas Carol. His famous reference to Christmas was Bah Humbug. There we go. All right. Okay. Anyway, so here we go with I got a couple, a few quotes before we get going into our lesson this morning. But the narrator makes comment of this in the story, if you're listening. It says, "Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner." And so with the fun we've been trying to have through the past several weeks of the movies, there are still spiritual truths that we're wanting to learn, and that is, there's not a one of us here that's not an old sinner, right? That knows better. That knows better. Scrooge then makes a comment later. He says, "If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart." And until we understand what Jesus Christ has done for us, I can understand why people go through their world like this. Then there's Marley's ghost, says this to Scrooge. And I think this is a good one for us to consider. No space of regret can make amends for one life's opportunity missed or misused. And so it's a reminder to us that if you enjoy the time that you're here in this world, you've only got one trip around on this planet, that we need to do our best to not misuse that opportunity, but to make that change. And then, if it's not the second most popular line, I don't know what would be, because Bah Humbug's probably the first. The second most popular line uttered by Tiny Tim is? All right, very good. Very good. And so we want to give a round of applause for our helpers here this morning. You guys can all go back and be seated. Hey, you nailed it. Good job. Isaiah and I have been working on that for 2 weeks. And this morning I'm like, and your line is? He goes, I have no idea. So he got it. He nailed it there. So we thought maybe we're going to have to write it down inside his hat or something. But and isn't that wonderful? Isn't that true? That God has blessed every one of us. And so as we look at this, we're going to go through and at this time, if the singers and accompaniment would head back up here, we are doing the service a little bit different than normal. And so I told Josh, I said, we could be done in 15 minutes, or it could be, 2.5 hours. I don't know. Being that that is a Christmas carol, we're kind of playing on the idea of Christmas carols as well and songs that we sing this time of year. And so as we look at the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, and Rick looked at part of that this morning with the shepherds and a reminder time for us of reflection, there will be a time where we'll sing along with the songs, the popular songs, for this time of year with this lesson. Also, I want for you to realize, so I took the top 15 songs. We're not singing 15 songs, though. All right, I took the top 15 songs in then reverse order, and I'll tell you which ones they are, and we're going to get all the way down to number one. We've got four songs we're going to sing today during the sermon, and we'll tell you which number they are along the way. Also, the movies that I had selected, I think they were four out of the top five or six of the all-time movies. Those are the ones why we went with those anyway, of Christmas movies. So Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 19 says, "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinus was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth." Now, when Christ Jesus was born, God's presence came down to his people in a new form. In the past, God had come down to people in balls of fire. He'd come down to them in clouds from the sky. But this time, God comes down to man in the form of helpless babe. But the story doesn't end there. The story of birth, as we all know, is going to come to us one day, points us to death. When Christ ripped the curtain in the temple and became the bridge between us and the Father, God's holy presence in and among us, when Christ was transfigured on the mountain, he had Peter and James and John. His closest of friends were there with him. The glory of the Lord was no longer barred from his people. So many times throughout scriptures, whether it was the Mount of Transfiguration, maybe it was Mount Sinai, mountains of Ararat, different places God made his presence known. But there is no longer a mountain that is a barrier between us and God, but a place for us to go and shout the good news from the mountaintops, is what the psalmist says. That the good news of God's presence among his people in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And so this is why our number 12 song is Go Tell It on the Mountain. Verse 7 says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. I had to learn a little German this past week to try to get this in, but it's Stille Nacht was the poem that was originally written and performed in 1818. But in present-day Austria, a young man by the name of Joseph Moore had come to the town of Oberndorf in the aftermath of the Napoleonic Wars. He had written a poem, and we know this poem turned into a song called Silent Night. Silent Night, the number 6 song on the list.
Silent night, holy night.
verse 9, it says, as an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes or in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. There's a quote from the movie A Christmas Carol where Scrooge says, I don't know what to do. I am as light as a feather. I am as happy as an angel. I am as merry as a schoolboy. A Merry Christmas to everybody and a Happy New Year to all the world. Hello there. Whoop! Hello! You know, there's an English Christmas carol that was first appeared in 1739 in the collection of hymns and sacred poems that was used among the churches. The carol is based on this passage out of Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. It tells of the angelic chorus singing praises to God. The now famous opening line had been transformed from its original through the years. The original line was, hark, how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings. For those of us that weren't familiar with welkin and had to look it up this past week, that means the sky or the vault of heaven. So the popular modern version is the result of alterations by various hands through the years that propels the carol that we have come to know as Hark the Herald Angels Sing, the number 3 Christmas song of all time. Begin at verse 15 when it says, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which has been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. From our movie that we're looking at in The Ghost of Christmas Past says, what would you so soon put out with worldly hands the light I give? I cannot help but think of this in the way of the gospel presentation today. as Thomas prayed in his prayer this morning, that it's not just the birth that we want to remember at this time. However, the birth is a great thing to start with this time of year. You've got everybody wanting to pay attention and to talk about that. And that birth then should lead us to, as Thomas prayed, his life, his death, his crucifixion there on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. That is the full gospel that needs to be shared with a world that needs it so desperately. That is the message that when it talks about that and telling of what you have seen and what you have heard, the angels, even though that was a great spectacle that they were able to witness, their message was limited at that time. But as Rick shared then, just 30-some years later, the story would be complete. The young man, the young baby grows up to a 12-year-old child that we read about, to a young man, to a preacher of righteousness, spent 3.5 years sharing the gospel message and then fulfilled that gospel message to save all mankind. And we are the benefits. We are ones that reap those benefits today. So would we so soon, with our worldly hands, put out this light that has been given to us? How dare we not? But take this opportunity, take this time that has been given to us to not only see that that light continues to burn, but that we see that light of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the gospel be shared and to grow and to flourish to all those that we come in contact with. Our final song here this morning that we're going to be sharing is an anthem that all Christians share. The words of the hymn were written by Isaac Watts, based out of Psalm chapter 98, Psalm 96, verses 11 and 12, and Genesis 3, 17 and 18. In the first and second stanzas, Watts writes of heaven and earth rejoicing at the coming of the King. Stanza 3 then speaks of Christ's blessing extending victoriously over all the realm. The cheerful repetition of the non-psalm phrase, far as the curse is found, has caused this stanza to be all omitted from many during their singing time and even some hymnals. But the line makes joyful sense when we understand through New Testament eyes what the gospel story, what the story of Jesus, what the Christmas story, what the Christmas carol is all about. And that's about ultimately giving praise to our one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Stanza 4 celebrates Christ's rule over the nations. The nations are called to celebrate because God's faithfulness to the house of Israel has brought salvation to the rest of the world. God's promises were always conditional, still are. Through the nation of Israel, he brought the Savior into the world. But through all of us today, we have the opportunity to share the gospel message with the rest of the world, us being the Gentiles as well, and how grateful we should be. The narrator in our movie says, "There is nothing in the world so irresistibly contagious as laughter and good humor." And as we look at this, and we're reminded that as Christians, we are a peculiar people. Because we look at things a whole lot different than the rest of the world does. You'll hear of parties, Christmas parties taking place, and people getting hammered and stoned out of their mind. And they'll forget the most important things in life. And yet we as Christians, I believe, can have the greatest time here on earth in only preparation for the greatest time that we're going to have in heaven for all eternity. Scrooge then says, "I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all year. Isn't it good to preach the gospel all year long? I will live in the past, in the present, and in the future. There's a plan of salvation that's given that we would all do well to follow. It starts with our belief in who Jesus is. You understand that the whole Old Testament pointed to this time, the time where the Messiah, where the Christ would be born. Knowing that he still had to go to the cross, still had to face the temptations from Satan. But yet, as Hebrews remind us, he was tempted in all points as we, but yet without sin. And as we look at this, it's a belief in who Jesus was, not only from the infant in the manger, but to the Christ on the cross. The one that resurrected 3 days later, and the one that now is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you believe who Jesus is? Are you willing to repent? Repent of your sin. As was shared in the communion meditation, the line from John the Baptist that says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Because of Jesus Christ and what he did, not as a boy, not as a child, not as a baby, but as a man that learned obedience, even the obedience on the cross, it is because of that that our sins can be remitted when we repent. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That you need to confess Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:32. "Therefore, everyone who confesses me, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven." One of the neat things I thought as I was assimilating these songs this week and looking at them, and I thank Josh and them for all working together to make this work out the way it has, that it's just a reminder to us that we need to sing, we need to talk, we need to share the confession of who Jesus Christ is to us. Is he your Lord and Savior today? Then by all means, let the world know it. Be immersed into Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you've done these other things, but you're still separated because you haven't been obedient to the call of Jesus Christ. Mark 16:16, Jesus says, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned." Talk about, as was shared in our opening this morning by Colton, the greatest gift that we could have is that of salvation. Were we going to accept it or are we going to reject it? And then to be faithful unto death, be faithful and I will give you the crown of life. Shepherds appeared to him as a child. Magi appeared to him. All sorts of people came and wanted to give honor and praise to him. But we are told in Philippians that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm here to let you know this morning that if you want to be obedient to that, everything else can be put on hold, and obedience is our number one goal. But if you're here this morning and you've already responded to that, then I encourage you to sing, to stand up, to share with us as we get ready to sing our final song, and in our reminder that as we talk of repentance and a changed life, the Lord does not care where you have been. He wants to know where you're at now and where you're going. And that's why in the Christmas Carol story, as it finishes out, the narrator says this, "And it was always said of him." See, we know him as Bah Humbug. But it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. "If any man alive possessed the knowledge, may that truly be said of us. And all of us as well." You have the knowledge and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't let it be a Bah Humbug. Let it be said of you that you keep it well. Will you stand with us as we sing our number one song? If you have a need this morning, there is no greater time than to express our joy to the world.
Joy to the world.
wonders of his love that have given us joy. We're so thankful that the Lord has come to give us eternal salvation. Thank you, Dave, for that great message. Thanks for your great Casey Kasem impersonation there, too, as we're counting down those top songs. We hope you'll come back again tonight as we share more in God's Word. Don't forget about the photo booth out there. Take advantage of that. Take a nice picture of your family. And we're just so glad to see you here this morning. Let's close out in a word of prayer. Lord, we come before you today, Lord, to just celebrate the fact that you have sent your one and only Son, Lord, to this earth, Lord, to be the sacrifice. Lord, the sacrifice not for his sin, but for our sin that put him on that cross. Lord, we're so thankful for the fact that he came to this earth, Lord, to show us the way, to give us truth, Lord, to be an example, and Lord, to give us eternal life. Lord, help us as we exit these doors, Lord, not to keep this gift to ourselves, Lord, but as was mentioned this morning, Lord, to be a gift giver. And what better gift could we give than the message of your salvation? Lord, let us share this from the rooftops, from the mountaintops, from everywhere we go, that Jesus Christ is here and the good news is ready for everyone. So, Lord, help us to be bold and be strong to declare your majesty this week. Lord, we're so thankful for all those who are here today and, Lord, who were ready to listen. And, Lord, we just also pray for those who could not be here today, Lord, for whatever their case may be. Lord, we just ask that you be with them. Lord, we just know there are many sick and ailing at this time and, Lord, many with surgeries coming up. So, Lord, we just ask that you give them healing. Lord, we're so thankful for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go.